Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Song, ladies and gentlemen, because that's quite frankly how I feel week in and week out here on the Chair Shot. Even when I try to retire, our fearless commissioner won't let me. This must be how the Undertaker feels. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pod Is War. Pod Is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chair Shot Radio Network in conjunction with
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And using my head, I got to be honest, I probably was not ever going to retire. I'm just talent, and talent tends to be prima donna sometimes. It just is what it is. But use your heads and go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. We literally have something for everybody. Hashtag journalism, save tag team wrestling, my personal fave, G's did the job. If you still want to support the defunct Platt Belaz presidential campaign, we've got that shirt up there as well, and many, many other cool designs with the Chair Shot logo. Again, I say it time in and time out, day in and day out, but it deserves repeating. If you enjoy the content that we provide day in and day out on the Chair Shot, the best way to make sure we keep providing that content is by going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Please and thank you and please. And if you put in the promo code Valentine's Day, you might get something off. I know next week if you put in the promo code President's Day, you're probably going to get something off. But this week, try it. You might like it. I'm not saying it's going to work, but what the fuck can it hurt? ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot with the promo code Valentine's Day, you might get something off. And if not, buy the goddamn shirt anyway. Shit, you about to get your tax refund. You just got your W-2s. You got it. I know you got it. And you can't go anywhere because it's a goddamn pandemic. Anywho, I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes Christopher Platt. As always, I'm joined by Andrew Snowflake Balls Belaz and the commissioner, who every time I think I'm out, he pulls me back in. Mr. PC Tunney.
Tony, at what point did he think he was out?
I don't know what he... It doesn't... Here, listen. It does not matter what he thinks. It doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what I think. Welcome to the Matrix.
Clearly, he's correct. I'm not even going to lie. He's 100% correct.
He ain't wrong. I don't know if he's 100% correct, but he ain't wrong.
So can we talk about why my esteemed co-host, Mr. Belaz's hair looks like he's got a bad toupee? I know it's all his. It just looks very toupee-ish.
Because it's being very lazy, and it didn't want to move in the spot, and then I got the head headset on with the mic, so I'm like, fuck it, I don't give a shit.
The problem is when you get older and you have caring. Yeah, when you get older and you have longer hair, it looks like that because your forehead's so big, so it's really just, you know, flowing from the top middle of your
forehead. It gets lazy, it gets thinner, it just doesn't want to cooperate.
See, now me, mine just gets all weird and curly and crazy and weird. So,
see, I forgot to use the Vidal Sassoon to give it nice body and this is just Cindy Crawford shimmer. So,
this is just head and shoulders, man. This is just how my
knees and toes as well. Yeah, look at that shit.
Eyes, ears, mouth, and a nose. You know, head and shoulders.
Oh, nice.
Knees and toes.
Ear, white. Nose, and throat. Doctor, no, David. Yeah, let's go.
Knees and toes, white afros.
Hey, that's great.
No, honestly, but my dad had red curly hair, so now I have like dirty blonde curly hair. But when I was younger and played basketball, still, when I let it grow out, it was even crazier. And that was my friend's favorite thing.
Like Jackie Moon from
They were like, yeah, it's the best. Your hair just flying around out there. So, yeah, that was back in my younger days. This was good, probably 20 plus years ago.
So, Andrew, you probably need to put a little Gorilla Glue in that. I don't know if you guys are hip to those shenanigans which ensued this past week.
Don't let anybody snatch your weave, balls.
Yeah, no, nobody's going to snatch my weave or pull out the extensions. Don't you worry. But, like, Gorilla Glue, I remember that being the oopsie from, like, American Pie, where he thought that was lube, and then that had a whole different situation to it. So why would I need to put that on my hair, buddy? This ain't something about Mary. I don't need hair gel.
Well, okay. Maybe just imagine maybe not putting it on your thing.
Imagine. We get to use imagination right now? All right. Imagination land, everybody.
But perhaps you may have put it in your hair mistakenly. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Black Twitter, by the way, because this has been all the rage on Black Twitter this week. I shit you not. There's this woman, God bless her. She put Gorilla Glue in her hair trying to get it laid down. And, yeah. And shenanigans ensued. Yeah. Like,
I mean, that's coming out with her hand, right? I mean,
well, that's the thing.
I think it was coming off of a perm or a straight iron, right? And she was just trying to keep it down?
I don't know all the particulars. All I know is this poor woman, and I can't even say poor woman because that's just a poor choice. But
no, that's fucking stupid, but yeah.
She put Gorilla Glue in her hair, and it's not like she can, because it's sticking to the scalp, so it's not as if she could just shave it off and start over. You know what I mean?
Can I ask you guys a question?
But that's happening.
Can I ask you guys a question? I'm not sure if there's further exploration on this topic or not, but I'm seeing a commercial for McDonald's spicy chicken nuggets, and they're saying it's back. Now, I worked for McDonald's a good 20 plus years ago. I've frequented McDonald's throughout most of my life for a quick drive-through for a McChicken and a double cheeseburger for like $2.12. Do you guys ever remember spicy chicken McNuggets?
A year or two ago.
Really? Did you have them?
They were I.
Okay, I don't think I'm going to try them. Sorry.
See, I'm with Tony on this because I had this conversation earlier with Amber. She got excited because Popeyes is, they said for the first time ever, they have their fish sandwich. And I'm pretty sure at some particular point in time in the last 40 years, these melon farmers have had a fish sandwich at some point in time. So it's advertisement, it's advertisement. They say things.
I mean, but Taco Bell does the same thing when they're like, nacho fries are back for a limited time. And it's like, all right, well, and then you bring it back every 6 months. But I guess it is still technically a limited time.
Y'all have fun with that Whack Arnold's, man. I haven't eaten Whack Arnold's since, I think the last time I ate Whack Arnold's might have been 2011. And that's just strictly breakfast. Strictly breakfast. I stopped from the quarter pounders and all of that shit because back in like 2007, because last time I ate it, it made my heart hurt and it scared me. And I was still on the sausage biscuits and shit when I was still eating pork. I was still on that for a little bit.
Biscuits
and the last one
fun.
I had.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the last one I had.
Have I told you guys about my egg story?
Yes, and the listeners don't need to hear it. Yeah.
I don't see that's the beauty of at least where I am with Wawa. So maybe it's an AMPM with you guys or Caldor, whatever you have. That's like kind of a little delicatessen type thing. Listen. Is Wawa has Sizzlies, and they have a sausage biscuit that's beautiful, and it blows McDonald's out of the fucking water. So that's usually what I go to if I've got enough time in the morning.
Do you guys have do you guys have a Speedway by you guys at all, or no? No? Gas station?
That's a gas station where I am not necessary. It doesn't usually have food, though.
See, the ones by us, they have grill and everything, so in the morning they have, like, a chicken and waffle sandwich. Oh, my God. It's so good. Gas station sandwiches. It's an episode that should have been named prior.
Y'all in these goddamn gas station sandwiches. What is wrong with y'all? Do you
can't die. They've already got, like, the diesel or the fucking petroleum fumes in it, and you eat that, it still tastes good. It builds up your immune system. It helps against COVID, but your bitch ass wouldn't know that.
No.
That's what you do, little cough a couple months
ago. Yeah, look who's had it, look who hasn't. Looks like if more people would eat gas station sandwiches, we could finally get rid of COVID. All right, folks, I'm just going to make an executive decision. We'll be right back after this to topic number one.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen. This Valentine's Day, this Sunday, it's TakeOver Vengeance Day. We already have four matches scheduled. We're obviously going to have the fruition of each side of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. In addition, a triple threat for the Women's Championship match, which is going to include Toni Storm and Mercedes Martinez. And Finn Balor versus Pete Dunne, I would imagine, will be your main event. Probably get a couple more matches tonight, at least one. You guys looking forward to this? I mean, for me, the championship match seems to be the biggest draw.
What better way to celebrate Valentine's Day than watching a bunch of sweaty, oiled up, homoerotic men in their underwear roll around on a big mat?
Hey, half of the card so far is also female, so it works both ways, buddy. It's not just homoerotic. Well, I guess it's homoerotic if you're female. But, you know, most of the demographic is male, so that's just a whole different Pornhub character or category.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I live in Atlanta, so that's like Tuesday here. Not that there's anything wrong with
that. I guess
that.
I have to move. Fuck.
You should, man. You do very well down here.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment, no matter how that is supposed to be implied. I like to be told I'm pretty no matter who's saying it, so it's okay.
Hey, man. Down here, you just learn to accept the compliment and keep it moving like an escalator, man.
You do the same thing up here, trust me. It's close enough to New York.
Touche. So, I don't give two shits about this TakeOver card. Andrew, I know you're not the biggest WWE fan, but you have shown somewhat of an affinity towards NXT. How are you thinking? What are you thinking about this card? Are you excited? Are you going to even watch the show?
I'll probably catch pieces of it because my week is going to be slammed with other things we're going to be talking about later on in the show, so I'm not going to go into it too much. So I think Sunday I'm going to give myself a little bit of a break and have AJ do most of the heavy lifting on this one. But looking at the card, there's only four matches. Like, that's kind of nothing. I guess they don't have the North American title yet, so that might sneak in there for God knows what. But, like, Balor and Dunn is the only one that even really has heat, matters. Like, you got Io, Tony, and Mercedes Martinez. Like, Io and Tony have history, even going back to Stardom. So, I get that. And Tony was the champion in the NXT UK Women's Division, and Tony's probably the one they're going to try to crown with this match, even though I don't know why they bring Mercedes back down if they're not going to at least give her a short run. But either way, it doesn't really do a lot for me because I don't see EO coming up anytime soon. It just gives her a rivalry for the next couple months. The Dusty Classics, I mean, why do I care about these? Like, a lot of them are just thrown together teams or new teams. Like Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, I do not like Raquel Gonzalez. She's gotten better, sure, but I'm not a fan at all. Ember and Shotzi, Candice and Indy. Like, okay, Candice and Indy have the way thingy with the Gargano way, but, like, I don't care. Ember and Shotzi is nice because they're likable, they're attractive, but what is that really? Like, who do I, what do I care about there? MSK? All right. Being the Impact guy? I love MSK because they're the Rascals, the best two out of the three, and Impact got stuck with the worst of the three. But, you know, Nash Carter, Wesley, Desmond Xavier, Zachary Wentz, whatever you want to call them, like, they're fantastic. They're probably not going to win, but, like, I want to just see them have a great, great go of it if they beat Legado del Fantasma and maybe go up against Ciampa and Thatcher, because I'm assuming that's where we're going, just to kind of keep Ciampa relevant. But, like, it feels, it's a lot of it just feels like filler. It feels like getting us to a point instead of it doesn't feel like a punctuation to a point. It feels like just getting us to the next paragraph or the next sentence, or there's a comma, and it's just like, it's just so meh filler bullshit.
So Zachary Wentz, isn't that the guy that played Spock in the latest Star Trek movies?
Quinto, buddy. Zachary Quinto.
Don't act like I'm just so far off. Come on now.
But and you're always... I mean, you. Oh, it's like you're... Never mind. It's fine. I like it. It's
all Zachs look alike. That's the new thing from Chris right now.
Hey, man. If Bow Wow wants to get into the WWE, Zachary Quinto can also get into NXT.
It's going to be better than his rap career and his acting career, so good for Bow Wow, I suppose.
Wow. Okay, cool. So I got to push back a little bit, because the majority of NXT takeovers, as a matter of fact, I think all of them have between 4 and 6 matches. So I can't let you use that as a detriment or as a deterrent for not watching the show.
Well, no, like I said, there's other things we're getting to later for why I probably won't be watching it 100% attentive to the screen. But what's declared isn't great either. Like, it's just a bunch of tag fucking tournament shit that no one, or okay, I should say, I don't care about, because I don't feel strongly about any team aside from MSK, and we still have to go through the rest of NXT on Wednesday, and we're recording currently as NXT is starting, so we don't know who wins that. So if MSK doesn't win, then I significantly don't care, even though I do love Thatcher. This is just a filler spot for him. What would he do if he wins the tag titles? Who gives a shit?
Let me ask you guys a question about the women's side. Is there any chance at TakeOver we see the presentation of NXT Women's Tag Team Championship belts before the match, that the winners will win these and this is how we're going to move forward? Or do you think
Christ,
maybe...
I hope not.
Or do you think maybe there's an announcement where the winners are going to get a shot at the Women's Tag Team titles with Nia and Shayna the following week?
Yes, that. Because we don't need another fucking belt for a division that's kind of, I don't know, anemic is the nicest way I'm going to put it. Like, the women's tag division has sucked since it started, and you don't need to add more belts. But, you know, Chris, what do you think?
I think there's too many belts in wrestling as is, and that's not just a WWE problem. That's an industry-wide problem. So I agree with you. I hope that's not where we go. Maybe I like option two more than option one, i.e. they get a shot at one of these off-brand pay-per-views that we have before WrestleMania against Big Fine and Shayna Baszler. I was nice there. I had some other things I could have said about Shayna or called her, but I was being nice.
We have to realize, though, is that Shayna and Nia are a beautiful combination together. Even if you have funny things to say about Shayna, they still work very well together.
Oh, of course. And I love the pairing. That, you know, WWE does those odd couple tag teams very well for the most part. And there's been a few clunkers in there, but more often than not, they hit. And I'm enjoying I enjoy their chemistry and their banter back and forth. I can't say I enjoy what they're doing all the time, and I'm sure we'll get to that momentarily.
I think their juxtaposition helps, too, because Shayna is a great wrestler with not a great personality and not great mic skill. And Nia's charismatic and she's cute, but her wrestling is kind of leaving something to be desired. So the fact that they can pick up the slack for the other one,
we're going to get to all that shortly. Let's finish off NXT here by talking about Finn Balor versus Pete Dunne. That's been established. What are the odds here that Finn Balor loses this belt? I mean, Pete Dunne is a guy who's been groomed for a long time, NXT UK, now in NXT, associated with, you know, the whole thing that, for the brand and everything else that's been happening. Do you see Pete Dunne getting the ultimate push here in NXT? Is that the next step for him, or does Finn Balor continue to hold this belt as we march toward WrestleMania?
I love Pete Dunne. I really do. And I love Finn Balor as a wrestler. I think it's going to be a hell of a match. I don't think Pete is going to go over here. I think the only person that's going to take that title off of Finn is Killer Cross, because they clearly have big things and big plans for him. It just so happens that he got hurt during his first championship match. But I don't think anybody's going to take that belt off of Finn that's not named Killer Cross. What do they call him now? Not Killer Cross. They can't use Killer.
Carrion. What was his name?
Thank you.
Pete Dunne has been a big proponent, or Triple H has been a big proponent of Pete Dunne. And he's kind of been groomed well. He was the runner-up to the big NXT UK tournament in the beginning for the British Championship, and then he had the longest reign before Walter now. I don't know if Walter's officially passed it, but he probably will. But either way, it makes so much sense, and it's also a perfect spot for McAfee to show back up. Like, McAfee had his little gang with, you know, Lorcan and Birch and Dunn, and it'd be perfect if he comes in just to screw over Balor, and then that can easily spiral into Balor and McAfee having an issue, and then Balor maybe going back up where he belongs in the main roster, because it's nice that he's back in NXT. He got another championship run that was, you know, decent, but what's he really doing there? What's his point, really? So this would elevate Pete Dunne. It would make him go from UK champ to NXT proper champ, to then we can see probably within the year he'll probably get elevated to the main roster when he's been in NXT for what, 4 years, 3 years, 4 years? How long has it been since that NXT UK tournament? Anybody? Bueller?
They all run together since COVID, man. As far as,
yeah, I know that's my problem. I think it's
two and a half, three years.
Time is a flat circle. Shut up. Oh, you got it.
No, I got it. That's good. But yeah, so I mean, he's been kind of treading water for too long. I think this is perfect to elevate him and to get him kind of getting some traction, because I agree with you. I love Dunn. Dunn's a little undersized, but he's got that pit bull kind of look. He's got that grizzled look, because he's not a pretty dude, and that is perfect for a badass. Like, he's pockmarked, and he's got a decent physique on him. Like, fuck up, people. Have fun. Be Pete Dunn. Fucking knock people out, bitter end them, and, you know, move on up.
And the way he works, it's conceivable that he can fox with somebody that might be much bigger than him. You know what I mean? He's got that Shawn Mike, that he who shall not be named about them, that viciousness that you have to have as a smaller competitor.
He's more he who,
you know,
shall not be named than Shawn Mike, but I get you. Size discrepancy.
But early Sean had that viciousness to him, too. You can't play Sean on that. He had a little viciousness to him. And most of the time, it was a shoot. But it was still a viciousness.
Maybe a little bit. He usually had other people be vicious for him, because he was always a bit of a politicking bitch. And I don't really ever see Pete Dunne being that.
All right, cool.
Am I speaking out of turn, really? Between Nash, or sorry, Diesel, and Sid, like, you know, after he dropped Jannetty, he didn't really do it by himself, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you fucked up my segue.
There we go. Fuck, good. Fine. Then don't give me looks if you don't want me to keep talking, motherfucker. Boom.
Whatever, Kevin Love. Let's just get to topic two.
Still got a ring.
Ay, lo pongo a bailar la pelúa, el que no baile que lo despelucan. Hijo de puta, no me cuquen, lean los números pa' que se eduquen. Yo no hago canciones, hago himnos pa' que no caduquen. En este género yo fui un Hadouken. Ey, y se extinguieron como los dinosaurs. Antes que me apague, se apaga el sol. Subimos y rompimos el ascensor. El prepa que le tiro al
balón. Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, the biggest thing in WWE right now, it not Roman Reigns, is Bad Bunny.
Él también va a pichar. Te juro que yo no me quise embichar. Ey, le metí hasta mi crush.
The top four selling merchandise products for WWE are from Bad Bunny. Roman Reigns is fifth, and Roman Reigns is not even at 5% of what the number one selling merchandise product for Bad Bunny is. Gentlemen, thoughts, comments on what is going on? The Bad Bunny explosion in the WWE.
It would have helped if you actually played the Booker T song. It would have been more relevant with the sports entertainment that we speak of on these airwaves.
I mean, it could have been. I just definitely want to make sure he has the New Day Who kind of queued up, because I think we're going to refer to the IWC's reaction at some point. So if he doesn't have the New Day Who kind of queued up, I'm going to be a little upset.
So, Tony, are you trying to tell me that it was the Booker T song that you were playing to lead into this topic? Is that what you're saying? Simple yes or no would suffice, sir.
I don't know. He likes sharing his screen, so we get to watch YouTube through Tony Vision. It's awesome.
You do know this isn't a visual medium, right?
I know, but I can see it, though.
I know you know. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the commissioner.
Look at G.I. Bro jamming out to Bad Bunny. It's fantastic.
Perhaps even if you turn the volume up to make me look stupid, that would be a little better, but you haven't done that.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Okay, he timed that perfectly.
All right, so that was Booger T that he was playing. So, Viva La Raza. What the fuck do you want me to do?
All right, neither one of us are going to even pretend to be Bad Bunny aficionados or, like, experts on his musical discography. But, like, I'm not going to doubt the man's pool and his reach, because we've kind of been over that. We touched on it a little bit when we talk about Lucha. And it's like, you know, you got El Santo. Like, El Santo is bigger than any other North American, Japanese, European, anybody, because Mexican fans are rabid, and there's a lot of those fans that still buy into it. So even though they're not on TBS and you don't always see AAA or CMLL, like, that doesn't mean that Psycho Clown, El Santo, Blue Demon Jr., you know, Dr. Wagner, like, they don't still have a bigger following than most people, like, than Hulk Hogan or some shit like that. So it's hard to argue Bad Bunny's pool, obviously, from these numbers of that he's 95% of sales or whatever the hell the actual number happens to be.
Can I just jump in the middle here real quick? Because I think the big point is, whoever's idea it was to bring in Bad Bunny should be promoted and given a gigantic fucking bonus. They're raking in money hand over motherfucking fist over this. This is one of the most brilliant ideas they've done in almost ever. This is insane. Monetarily, they're raking it the fuck in on a place they never thought they would have gotten a cash cow from.
Viva la raza! I bring that up. I don't know what you said, but I bring that up because anytime Bad Bunny is brought up in my household, I have the exact same conversation with my lady. I turn to her and I say, "Hey, you heard of this Bad Bunny?" And she says, "Yeah, he was the guy on that song with Cardi B that I like it like that." And then I respond, "Oh, was he the guy that said Viva La Raza?" And Amber responds, "I'm not sure, because there were a couple of guys on that song." That's literally the conversation every time we bring up Bad Bunny, and I always forget, and then once we go through the conversation, it comes back to me again. I'm the old dude in the club, though. Like, this isn't for me. Like, this Mellow Farmer had, what, 86 million YouTube hits for one of his songs? I mean, this is brilliant. It's like Tony said, it's absolutely positively fucking brilliant. And if the rumors and scuttlebutt are to be believed, he's going to have a tag match with Damian Priest, a guy that I'm much higher on than my colleague here, Mr. Belaz, versus The Miz and Morrison, which is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Number one, isn't that The Miz's character? A D-list celebrity who thinks he's the biggest star since the sun? So that's absolutely perfect that you would pair those guys up. And Damian Priest gets a highlighted match at WrestleMania, which, you know, is gonna, I'm sure they're gonna go over, and Bad Bunny get to do his little one spot or whatever the case may be. But yeah, this is absolutely brilliant. And well, I know you're gonna get to the IWC, and I have my thoughts on that as well. But shout out to them. And I've been critical of WWE saying that they needed to do something to reach out to the younger demographics because the demographics that watch their show are getting older and older. This is it. It's not for me. I don't give, and frankly, I don't give a shit, but it's not for me. This ain't my music. This ain't me. I'm the old dude in club at this particular point in time. So kudos to WWE, and I'm with Tony. Whoever's idea this was, yeah, they deserve a raise. Like, for real, for real. And maybe it'll bring younger eyeballs. Maybe it'll bring that Latino market back to the product. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But
I mean, that's the beauty of utilizing Damian Priest in this. In this angle is the fact that he can bring in the Latino market, because sure, he's pushing 40 and he doesn't look like it. Two, he's a good looking guy. So the fact that he's a good looking Latin dude paired with this popular pop star, like, what's not to like about him? And you could just spin it off of that. He could be something gigantic.
Do you feel like Damian Priest is on the verge of having a DDP run? Because look at getting paired with someone famous, like DDP did it, like came in late.
Carl Malone?
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, shit, Damian Priest would take half of what DDP accomplished at this point in his career up on the main roster. I mean, legitimately.
Legitimately, but he's got 5 years at least left on him, which is about as much as DDP's run, really.
Right.
So,
but I'm saying
I think
if he could.
His ceiling is a little higher than. Than DDP is just because he's got the height.
Okay,
he's
but
like
how many
6'7", 6'8" shoot?
DDP was 6'5", 6'6", with the hair. I mean,
yeah, but that was in the year of the Giants, so,
so
you know what I mean.
Right, but at the same time, how many world championships did DDP have?
Four.
Well,
so Damian Priest gets two. That's successful run in 5 years for him with the crowded main event status in the main roster for WWE.
Real quick, man, before y'all finish your argument, I just want to finish my thought real quick. And
sorry.
I was saying, you know, maybe it might work to bring in the younger demographic and the Latinos. Maybe it won't, but at least they're trying something. So there's, you know, and it clearly, at least in sales, it seems to be working. That's all I wanted to say. Please continue.
The best aspect I was bringing about was the fact that you got Angel Garza, you got Andrade, and you've got a lot of good, like, good working, good looking, good everything, like Latino wrestlers that you don't need to be like, this is Eddie 2, this is the Masked Ray 2. This is just, it's something that you can easily build on to bring in eyes, especially if you have this whole Bad Bunny demographic that jumps in.
That's why with with Angel Garza joining Miz and Morrison, it's a great way to create a heel character for that Latino demographic.
Exactly.
And that's why you bring in Booker T for the third man for WrestleMania and you have a fucking 3-on-3. Because Booker T is going to put asses in seats, if you will. It's going to draw more people. Booker T will.
And it's the song. Like, there's too much of a parallel there to overlook.
He's got
to
be back.
But yeah, Booker T is a name that will draw eyes because he's Booker T. But yeah, so Garza's utilization, Priest getting a bit of a rub off of the Bad Bunny thing, and then Bad Bunny getting the wrestling rub, though he doesn't really need it, like off of Priest and everybody. Like, Miz is going to bump for him. Morrison's going to bump like hell for him. Like, you're putting him with the perfect people that'll just sell and make everything they do look fucking impactful and amazing. So it's going to be good. It's going to be a hell of a gimmick. It's going to be fun to watch.
I love that idea, Tony, on so many levels. So that being said, if that's where they go, even if they don't bring Booker into this, even though I love that idea, we all know that it's going to be Bad Bunny that gets the fall at WrestleMania, because that's what's going to generate the most headlines. It's going to be all over the internet. You might be able to get SportsCenter with that. That's how it's going to go. So
who eats the pin? Morrison.
To Bad Bunny. Morrison? I'm saying Garza, if that's the case. In the six
idea, yeah, probably Garza, but if not, Morrison.
No,
if
Miz would be more than happy to be pinned by Bad Bunny. That's more publicity for Miz. That's why he says I will take it. It benefits the Miz the most to lose to Bad Bunny.
I mean, both of them are still in a good spot either way. I can see them both arguing over who eats the pin, you know, before the match, because Morrison needs a rub, and Morrison could easily get a main event.
Yeah, but
main event rub.
Yeah, it ain't happening.
But yeah, it's gonna be fine either way. Like, whoever eats a pin, even if it gets fucked up, whoever. Like, I think Morrison just because I could see more happening with Morrison, because you did recently bring him back. Miz had the briefcase, and that didn't go anywhere. But we'll see.
No, my friend, you are wrong. See, number one, if it's Garza, yeah, he's going to eat the pin if they do the six-man. If it's not, it's going to be Miz.
Yeah, we all agree with the Garza
thing. They gave him back the Money in the Bank briefcase, which leads me to believe that at some particular point in time, Miz is going to cash that shit in and be successful. Not saying I want to see it, but why would you give it back to him if that's not what you're going to do?
John Morrison's going to Morrison's going to screw him out of it and turn face.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And everybody's gonna think that he's gonna get a title.
Gonna eat the pin because he has the briefcase, and the briefcase holder loses everything.
All right, we need to get to topic
why
two.
Can't I say it? Why
topic
let
two
me
two
say it?
Two B. We need to get to topic two two. Sub Sorry. A sub B two. We need to get to the second topic on topic two. We need to get there.
No, do we?
I went to the salon with her, and I got my asshole bleached too, and I love my new asshole.
What? You want to keep talking about fucking Bad Bunny when we can talk about Nia Jax's asshole?
I mean, we are assholes, so that's why we like to talk about other assholes aside from this.
Go ahead, Platt. Finish your thought.
Asshole?
Go ahead, Platt. Finish your thought.
Touché, motherfucker.
You're not gonna finish your thought now?
No, Andrew stepped on my response, was touche, motherfucker. You were absolutely right. Let's talk about Nia Jax's asshole.
So, I mean, she's your big find. She is the one that you do not allow slander on the airwaves. So, exactly how deep into her hole are you right now, buddy?
Can one of you melon farmers or yahoos at least
set it
up?
You can set the table, goddammit! I don't think there's anybody listening to this that hasn't seen the gifs of my hole, and then it goes through like the Bully Ray saying my balls, or fucking Shelly Martinez saying my vag back at the fucking TNA pay-per-view a few years ago. Like, it's the holy trinity of orifices. Like, we finally hit that point. It's fantastic. Nia Jax is fulfilled. She's rounded out the whole trinity. Isn't this fantastic for you? Aren't you happy, buddy? Don't you just want to just go into it?
Tidy spa. Tidy spa. Everything bidet. Up. A bidet company offered her ambassador role for their company.
Say that again, because you were laughing. I need you to say that again.
Tidy spa. A bidet company offered Nia Jax an ambassador role in their company due to this. That is for real thing that you can look up on the internet. Tidy spa. Oh, my hole. Not anymore.
All because of her hole.
Like, why did someone in the back challenge her to do that? Or did she just think, like, oh, that would be funny? Or
I think she thought it would be funny.
Y'all really think she said that of her own fruition?
I guess,
y'all
yes!
really think, I guess we're talking
Nia
about
Jax
it.
Nia Jax is like a funny bitch. Like, I've seen the shit she said to Lana. And, like, the whole, what do you think, this is a Disney princess movie or something like that? And then, like, when she's like, oh, no, we're friends, that psych, bitch! And it's like, she comes up with this dumb shit that's so corny, but it's fantastic, the timing and the way she says it. Like, I 1,000% think she thought that was funny, so she wanted to pop people.
Number one, shout out to Nia Jax's whole getting an endorsement deal. I mean, it's a lot of women out here making money off their holes on the OnlyFans, and shout out to them as well. Get your monies, boo-boos. I'm not mad at you whatsoever. This shit is hilarious. I can't believe that people were legitimately mad about this or upset or rolling their eyes. This shit is hilarious.
Who was mad about this? It's fucking hilarious.
Is it possible that she had hemorrhoids at the time? It was like, oh, my hole.
Possibly.
I felt triggered by that statement.
Oh, that's true. You did just recently go into that conversation a week or two ago. So how's the donut treating you, buddy? You okay?
Shut up. They just flare up every now and again, but I still feel triggered by that comment.
Yeah, the only person you have to blame for this coming up with your inference on it is yourself.
Your inference on it yourself. Ah, blow me. Shout out to Nia Jax. I hope she takes that bidet contract, because that was, shut up. That was hilarious.
Yeah, well, it's a bidet contract, some preparation age, maybe like whatever, get her own. Oh, see, that's what WWE needs to sell, is like Nia Jax donut for hemorrhoids. That's fucking fantastic right there.
No, you're on to something, and then you put the likeness of Nia Jax on the donut, so then you know where I'm heading. You know where I'm going, Andrew.
I do.
So all the commercials, Nia's there with the donut, and now you can sit on my face. I'm not like most girls.
There's got to be a cord you can pull to it, too, where it has a little audio speaker in it, and it's Nia Jackson says, oh, your hole, sit on my face.
But when you sit, it's going to be like, oh. I hope that came across well on audio.
It came through well enough. You didn't quite sound like Kenny from South Park, but I got it. I understood it. But yeah, no, this is great. I mean, it's not The Rock Strudel or 316 or anything like that, but like, it's fucking hilarious, and she'll be able to do something with it. I mean, she was able to do stuff with legitimately injuring people and breaking noses because she turned that into a gimmick. So this is like legitimately a gimmick that she could run with, and people won't have any like ill feelings because there were real injuries or whatever. So good on her.
And shout out to AKA Big Fine Nia Jax. I enjoy her a lot more than most people do. And everybody doesn't have to be Luthez or Bret Hart in the ring. She's not. But her character, she's hilarious. And she's a good heel. She plays a good bully. And yeah, I hope her and that bidet company can come to an agreement. And I hope they pull the Nia Jax donuts so millions and millions of fans within the WWE universe can sit on Nia Jax's face. Let's get to topic three.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
All right, folks, this weekend, it's a big weekend for Andrew, and we'll start here like this. Impact Wrestling, no surrender. Plenty of matches on this card. I'm going to let Andrew kind of pump this up for everybody. What are you most looking forward to here this weekend from Impact Wrestling, Andrew?
Why is it a big week for Andrew? What, did Grindr tick back up after the whole coronavirus scare?
Well, no, he's not only got to cover this, but he's got to cover a couple of things we're going to be talking about in the next topic. So don't ruin it. Just roll with the flow, brother.
Grindr related? Will you stop it?
I mean, not necessarily not either, but.
And I know what colors go with what colors. Doesn't mean you have to make those assumptions, Mister.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but please.
Of course not. We support everybody. We love it. Love is love.
Who's that climbing out of the window behind you?
That might have come off sounding sarcastic or condescending, but no. Like, whoever the fuck you like, as long as it's not a child or an animal, fuck it. You know, have fun. But
the love is love, except for the dwarves. You're on your own. But continue.
Whoa! You could be into that. There's a category for it. Don't get. don't. Do not kink shame my midget people. My midget people, they know it. They're down with that.
I got nothing. Continue.
All right, let me.
I wasn't sure if you had anything.
Let me just. You want me to highlight the championship matches quick?
I mean, if you want to, I know what they are, but if you want to actually chime in for Impact, because I know you don't do that too often.
Well, we got Fire and Flava taking on Havoc and, Nevaeh?
Nevaeh.
Yeah, there you go. I said it right the first time. Texas Tornado no disqualification match. What are you expecting there?
I expect a lot of shenanigans, honestly. Like, I know that Chris is higher on Tasha than I am, and I'm higher on Kira than he is. But that could be an aesthetic bias either way, because they're both gorgeous girls, and they talk well. They wrestle okay. And Havoc is a monster. Like, Havoc, and that's putting it nicely, like, I'm not even shaming, because she's just bigger than the girls, and she beats the fuck out of people. Nevaeh is adorable, and she's a perfect counterbalance, contrast, juxtaposition, teammate, whatever you want to really call it, for Havoc. And it's going to be fun. I feel like Fire and Flava should hold on to the titles and find some way to kind of shenanigans their way through it, because they are that damn entertaining that even something as cringy as the Fire and Flava Fest that happened a couple weeks ago could be stomachable, because they're just that charming in their chihuahua yappy kind of, you know, way of doing the talkative heel thing. I'm okay with it. The match probably won't be anything to write home about, but it should be fun, and I expect fun. That's all I really expect from Kira and Tasha.
Honestly, there's one match that I'm really looking forward to. Let's slide on over there. The X Division, TJP taking on Rohit Raju, what was he? Didn't he have a dragon nickname before that?
No, he was Hakim Zayn in the Indies.
No, before and that, he was his something dragon.
Finishing move was the dragon stomp.
He was the mad dragon. That's before that.
Where was he on the Indies?
Yes.
Is that from your Bruce City Wrestling times? Like, you saw him there? Because he's been around. Like, I don't exactly know. So
Mad Dragon.
I knew he was Hakim Zayn. I didn't know the Mad Dragon thing.
I can't remember what. You keep talking. I'll try and find out when that was.
No, that's fine. And TJP Rohit's been fantastic, because Rohit is a perfect old school heel where it's not even a racist angle he's taken, because he's just he will piss you off, he'll fire you up, and he calls people Nimrods. He like goes full 80s, early 90s with his promos and his shtick, and he's damn good in the ring too. Like, he pulls off some athletic crap, but it's all smart. It all makes sense. It's not just movement for the sake of movement. And I love that, and the fact that he brought in Mahabalishira back as his enforcer to kind of get one over on TJP. Or manic, or whatever gimmick TJP is using at the time. So it's all good, and it's definitely great for the Indian community, because of the simple fact that it's representation for them, and not in a racist way, not where he has to be like the Punjabi playboy or Bollywood boys or something like that. Like, he's just Rohit Raju, and he will fuck you up. Like, it's fantastic, and he's just a typical heel doing Ric Flair style stuff, but he just happens to be, you know, mocha skinned.
So, number one, I agree with everything you said regarding Tasha and Kira. Number two, this particular match, it's funny because TJ Perkins, he's a heel. He's a natural heel, and I don't understand why people, I know WWE tried to steer into that skid, but nobody gives a shit about 205 Live. He's a natural heel. Just rock with it. He's got one of those punchable faces anyway. And when they tried to make him that white meat baby face and had him win the 205 Classic, it just came across corny to me.
Impact,
but now I know
did
why.
It better, though, because they paired him with Falaba. And Falaba is the big, heavy sumo panda guy. And they're both Filipino. And that's what they bonded over, is being Filipino-Americans and the Filipino tag team. And you can't hate Fala. Like, Fala's charming in a big squishable, you know, fat guy kind of way, and saying it in the nicest way, like, everybody knows what I'm talking about. So, like, that was a perfect pairing. They've kind of taken him apart a little bit to show that Rohit's still a heel, but TJ is TJ had to fight from underneath to get one over on Rohit, and now it seems like Rohit is just trying to act smarter or find a way around the workaround. And it's clever.
That's fair. And shout out to the Filipino community, because if you know anything about the Asian community, Filipinos are basically the Negroes of the Asian community. So I'm always going to have love for Filipinos. And I'm not just talking shit. Like, that's for real. That's how it works there. Which makes me feel even more complexed, or not complexed, but more perplexed that I don't like TJP. But he's just not likable. I don't give a shit who you are.
He's a not likable. Like, have you seen his tweets and the shit he says?
Yeah.
Like, there's been shit he said on Twitter where he's like, you know, he thinks he's been the best wrestler in every match he's ever had, and he's never learned anything from anyone ever in a match. He's wrestled against Jushin Thunder Liger, and he's never learned anything. He's just that fucking good. No, fuck you, idiot. Like, I'm like, it's one thing to be cocky and arrogant, and it's another thing to, like, drink your Kool-Aid so far that you're, like, your biggest follower, and that's a fucking problem.
Yeah, but again, steer into the skid. He's a natural heel. Let that shit ride, man. I mean, hell, look what it...
Mask again. I like when he doesn't talk.
Look what it did for Floyd Mayweather. And on the lowest of keys, Floyd Mayweather's actually a decent human being. He's got his faults, but we're not going to go there. But compared to TJP, Floyd Mayweather is fucking Mother Teresa.
I don't know Floyd well enough to really confirm or deny, but you know, I'll acquiesce to your knowledge on Mayweather more so. But anyway, so the biggest match probably from No Surrender is the tag match with, I mean, if you want to talk about it, Tony, you can chime in. I don't know, after we get going, you like to just kind of take a back seat sometimes. Don't you have an IPA to go drink? Fuck. All right.
Go say right, something.
Hey, look at that. Anyway, so it's the one that I know we all want to talk about.
Hold on, shut up and go make your eggs in the microwave, Tony.
Oh, that's true. It's been an hour. You need to make your souffle.
Go ahead, balls.
So I know none of us really want to talk about Rich Swann versus Tommy Dreamer. It's going to be a better match than we expect, but it's going to be throwaway. Who fucking cares? It's rehashing the old Terry Funk match from ECW, the old guy getting a title match. Meh. Oh, wait, Tony has insight. Impact Insight? Wow.
With Impact working with AEW, do you not see Tommy Dreamer versus Kenny Omega on AEW as the champion?
Stop.
And that's the guy that gives the belt to Omega?
Stop it.
Yeah.
That'll be right now? Oh, okay. That answers it. Never mind. There we go. That's the reason for that thought process. Anyway, so yeah, we're not talking about that. Rich is retaining. Then he'll have his match with Moose, and hopefully, Moose takes the fucking belt off of Rich, because Rich is a solid worker. He's a great champion, but he's not a main champion, and I would love to see Moose versus Omega. I would love to see Moose versus most people, as we talked about last week with Ray, where Moose versus Edge would have been a damn good match in my head. But the real money match is the Good Brothers, which now got turned into a three-way dance. So it's the Good Brothers versus Beer Guns, which is James Storm and Chris Sabin, because Alex Shelley had to take this taping off because of his shoot job being a nurse and different COVID kind of violations and issues that could have popped up from him taking the shots, versus Matt Hardy and the Private Party, the Hardy Party, Big Money Matt. So how do you feel, Chris? Because I know you've been huge on Private Party before AEW was even really a thing, and you were popping for them in the tag tournament when they beat the Young Bucks in the first round. So how do you feel about this gimmick, the angle it's being shot, this shot right here with the tag titles? Like, what's going on with you? Where are you at?
I would love to see Private Party win. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But I think it behooves them, which means it's in their best interest to be in there with four other veterans to show them how to work. You know, they're super talented, they're super athletic, they're super charismatic. They just need more reps. That's the only problem with it. Plus, they're super young. I mean, I think those guys are, what, like 22, 23 years old? So they're super young. So I think it behooves them to be in the ring with four veterans that all know how to work, and they can maybe slow them down a little bit, show them how their high spots can matter. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do 50-11 things in the ring, especially if you have charisma and you can talk. So I'm looking forward. I think it'll be a fun match. I don't think they're going to put the belts on Private Party, but at the same point in time, you've got to do something to make this beneficial to AEW, don't you?
I mean, AEW already kind of invaded the Impact Zone and made Impact look stupid using former Impact people to kind of pull the wool over their eyes one time. And
oh, okay, but let's be honest. Who's benefited more from this collaboration, AEW or Impact?
I mean,
come on, man, honestly, be honest.
That's a hard argument because that gave them Guns and Gallows. No, listen. That gave them Guns and Gallows. It gave them the Bullet Club gimmick. It gave him Kenta showing up, which I don't know if that's literally a forbidden door opening or if it's just New Japan wanted to play ball to get their fucking title back because, you know, Moxley's been holding it for God knows how long doing nothing. So we'll see that in the future. But it's a Bullet Club angle. It runs nicely. Everybody loves the Bullet Club. So I don't really think it's done much for either side that hasn't already been established. Like, sure, the first couple weeks it was popping Impact numbers, but the same number of people watch AEW that watch AEW, it's the same 800-ish thousand people. It hasn't gone up to a million. It hasn't gone up to 1.2 million like their first show. Like, it's hard to really argue that it's benefited one more than the other when it seems like the groups have kind of settled. And we're back to where we usually are, where there's the Impact crowd, there's the AEW crowd, and then there's the Bullet Club crowd, if you wish to call it that.
So you literally just proved my point. I you know, the Kenta thing, I think that's more of a melting of the ice caps in the Cold War between AEW and New Japan. But the fact that it at least initially popped Impact, and I don't think it popped AEW. Like, the same AEW people that watch AEW are going to watch AEW. Right. But at least it got it got Impact's name in people's mouths again. So I feel like that was a net win for Impact.
Maybe. I mean, it's closer to you being correct than you being wrong. I just don't feel like there's been a lot of sticking power with the AEW crowd. That's all I'm saying. It's like, I feel like they stuck around in the little bit of the beginning thinking Omega might have done something cool, and now they've kind of tuned out unless they know something's going to happen. So we'll see, because the Twitch chat has been kind of at the same 6,000-ish that they've been at recently, because I like to watch it kind of with access and Twitch up to see the differences, and we'll see. But you're not wrong.
It's the same 1 to 1.2 million people in this country that are watching all the wrestling shows.
Yes.
So, I mean, it is what it is at this point, man. We've just better hope and pray that Bad Bunny is the fucking Messiah at this point.
I think
it's going to break.
The only meat left on the Private Party bone that I wanted to get your opinion on was do you like the fact that Hardy is taking the old school promoter or the shifty agent or the shitty white guy basically leading on the young impressionable black guys, where he's basically telling the kids, like, oh, this is what you're going to get, and I'm taking 50% of your money. But it's fine, because you're going to get more money if you're champion, so you'll still be millionaires, and I'll still be millionaires. But, you know, you'll still get more money if you win, so it's okay. And he's basically leading them on by the nose to be like, oh, yeah, you're heels because I'm telling you to do this shitty shit, but it's okay, as long as you're listening to me. And then when shit comes down, like in Impact, when they're like, oh yeah, because you interfered, now it's a triple threat, and then he decides to scold them, is like, oh, why the fuck did you interfere? How could you do that? You screwed up our money. It's like, do you like the... It's not necessarily a stereotype, but it's definitely playing on older stereotypes and stuff that's been around. Like, do you like the promoter taking advantage of the impressionable young black athlete type thing? The gimmick that the Big Money Matt thing has over Private Party?
I mean, it is what it is, man, in regards to professional wrestling. There's always going to be some bullshit in there when it comes to black wrestlers, or not even just black wrestlers, just, you know, wrestlers of color in regards to the storylines, because you still got a bunch of old white guys back there writing these storylines. Honestly, at this point, go ahead.
No, I was just going to real quick frame it in a way of, do you like the fact that they're still mostly baby faces, and it's just the fact that Hardy and Tony Khan and Jerry Lynn are doing the heel stuff in their name, but they're still baby faces, they're still themselves, and they're just trying to make the promoter happy, so to speak, when they're not being shitheads directly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm just happy they're in a storyline. Because okay, I'm happy they're in the storyline, because other than the Elite, and I'm gonna include Cody in that, other than the executive VPs, how many storylines have other talent really been in? I mean, yeah, we got Miro, and you know, he got busted up and he was pissed because the Mama's Boys broke his game console. Yeah, I'm just happy they're in a storyline, and maybe they can get some TV time and they'll develop on the mic a little bit more and let their personalities come over a little bit more and develop that part of them, because, you know, 10 years... It's wrestling, man. I find all this shit offensive. It just is what it is.
No, that's fine. I wanted your, like, just straight-up answer, because I saw it and I'm like, I think it's clever that they're keeping Private Party faces and they're still young and enthusiastic and athletic and just likable, but, like, Hardy is making them seem like scumbags. Tony Khan's making them seem like scumbags. Jerry Lynn's cheating for them to win the match. When they're like, hey, we won by gin and juice, and Hardy and Jerry Lynn are like, oh no, we helped you win. We're the reason you won. Like, you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean, but it's wrestling. I just don't expect anything other.
No, that's fair. I mean, like, that's a really, really good example and really good take, because I just wasn't sure where it landed, you know? I don't have
the chairshot.com. Always use your head.
Okay, so this is time for topic 4, and I guess since this is more my style, with the Japanese style, the strong style, the King's Road style, whatever you want to call it, this is the homogenized Welcome to Japan topic. So at the time this show goes up, the last New Japan the New Beginning episode will be over, episode, event, whatever you want to call it, with Ibushi versus Sanada. Uh-oh, Tunny has something.
This is sports, but it's ironic to me. I'm sorry if I'm interrupting Japanese wrestling. I apologize.
Is it Japanese baseball?
No, it's not. It's NFL.
Go.
The Bears just hired Mike Pettine as their defensive coordinator.
What?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, fucking Christ, okay. The Bears don't want to win this year, do they? Because first they're talking about trading him for Wentz, now they want that. The Bears are going to suck for a few years. RIP to Patrick O'Dowd and his hopes and dreams for the next 3 or 4 years. Like, there we go.
Guessing nice. They're hoping he knows something that they don't. All right, back to yeah. I apologize. I just saw that and yeah.
Packers
wow.
are gonna win the division for the next couple years. That's all you're happy about.
No, I don't know. It's just weird. All right, hold on.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We now rejoin Pod is War, already in progress.
Yes. Anyway, back to Japan. So. New Japan has the New Beginning Tour. The third episode, the third event, will be happening. By the time you listen to this, it would have already happened. And it's the Kota Ibushi versus Sanada match. And it's the six-man that Tunney tried to allude to last week, but we don't care because six-man and the six-man never suck. Because it's Jay White and the Gorillas of Destiny versus Yoshihashi, Tomohiro Ishii, and Hiroki Goto. So... do you have any hot takes on where you think this is going to be? Because at this point, it's going to already happen, so we'll know if we're wrong. But we don't know that right now.
Damn, I really hate that you do that to me, because I have...
You love Ibushi, so I figured you'd just go on your whole Golden Star rant.
Well, I'm sure that the champ is going to win, because it's a bad look for the champ to lose, considering he just got the belt 3 weeks ago.
I mean, he technically defended once against Jay White, so it wouldn't be his first defense loss.
But you know what I'm saying. You got to make the champ.
I agree completely. I'm just saying that at least it's not a one and done.
Yeah, but you got to keep the champ strong. Especially.
So then continues to lose?
Yeah.
Oh, no, hey, that's fine. I know because you've been a recent enough fan to know that Sonata kind of chokes in big spots. And he's had plenty of shots against Okada and all this other shit, and he loses.
So does anything come out, does anything play into Sonata where he came out and said that he admitted that his mic skills were bad?
I don't think that plays into it, because I think it's endearing. I think the fans find that cute, because they already find him attractive aesthetically. And the fact that, you know, he doesn't say much, and he just kind of motions to them to cheer him on, and they rally behind him anyway. I think they find that adorable, that, you know, it's a little self-deprecating, but it's nothing they didn't already know. So I think it just, it's kind of more of the same. Chris,
don't be surprised, because of everything you just said, and you know New Japan and Ghetto, they do long-term booking, so don't be surprised if Sonata makes some waves in the G1, and perhaps he gets a don't be surprised if in night one or night two in the Tokyo Dome come next January, if Sonata's in one of those title matches.
That's possible, especially because after the Wednesday edition of the New Beginning, we saw Dangerous Techers lost the tag match against Guerrillas of Destiny, which that's an interesting caveat, because that could split them back up into singles competition, or they could remain a tag team, because Taichi was more happy to get his iron fingers back, the gloves from Izuka. And we're kind of at that point where Taichi's been on fire the last year or two, and he's been putting on some great matches. We all know Zack Sabre Jr. is a great wrestler. Like, I know Tunney really, really enjoys his work. So what if you get Ibushi versus Taichi, because they set that groundwork in the G1 where Ibushi ended up winning, but Ibushi said something like that's the type of wrestling he wants to do, where it's the fighting spirit, lots of kicks, lots of striking, lots of you don't know who's going to win until the final kick lands. Like, that's Ibushi style of wrestling. Like, do you think this leads to Taichi getting maybe a shot, and as weird as the sentence is going to be to say, maybe Taichi getting a title run?
Number one, I love Ibushi, but I don't understand this masochistic streak he has in him. He's just not going to be satisfied until he kills himself in the ring. Yeah, I could see, especially considering we have a whole year until the next Wrestle Kingdom, I could certainly see Taichi getting a shot here, and it would probably be a damn good match as well. I don't think that they're going to give him the title, but hell, I didn't think they were going to take it off of Naito twice. So who knows what's going to happen at this point in time?
Oh, that's a good point. And there we go. So I don't really want to talk about the six-man. Do you really want to talk about the six-man? Do you think Jay White and the Gorillas of Destiny are anything to discuss over Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto and the Stone Pitbull?
So what do you I do want to ask you this, though. What do you think the odds are that we see Gorillas of Destiny, seeing as how they're kind of reforming the Bullet Club on this continent? What are the odds are that you think we see the Gorillas of Destiny at some particular point in time this year down in Jacksonville?
Ooh. I think it depends on if they come to New Japan Strong first. Because the Gorillas of Destiny did spend a little bit of time on New Japan Strong in the beginning, when they couldn't make it to Japan because of COVID restrictions. So if somebody invades New Japan Strong, I could totally see Tama and Tongaloa kind of throwing a haymaker back. So it's possible. Tama's a big worker. I mean, if you watched it, or if anybody listening watched the Chris Van Vliet interview with Enzo and with Tama, it's all work. Like, Tama was pissed off that they didn't tell him or Loa about the Enzo running for the ROH New Japan G1 Supercard, but he was stirring shit, because he's all about that work.
He's got that Jim Cornette kind of
mentality. Yeah. Like, he didn't like it, but if there was money to be made, he definitely wanted to make that money. So same thing here. If there's money to be made, I don't think Tom is going to say no. It's just wherever the money flows, Tama goes. And that's kind of that.
There's some money being made around here. There's some money being made around here. Big old house, Range Rover, diamond rings, if you like that kind of thing.
So, anyway, since New Japan isn't the only Japanese thing to talk about this week, and that was a good reference, anyway, fuck it, stop it. Anyway, what we talked about a couple weeks ago with Ray Cash is now coming to fruition this Friday. So tomorrow, as of if you're listening to this when it goes up, and if not, on the 12th, February 12th, is the Pro Wrestling Noah show at the Budokan with Keiji Muto, Great Muta, versus Goshi Ozaki for the GHC Heavyweight Championship. There's also, it's got a lot of heavy generational undertones, because Marufuji is going to be teaming with Jun Akiyama, and Jun Akiyama, in case people are unaware, is basically the closest thing to one of the four pillars, four heavenly kings, whatever you want to call Kobashi, Misawa, Kawada, and Taue, left wrestling, because he was Misawa's direct protege. Noah, when it was created 21 years ago, was created basically for Akiyama. It was created for him as the ace, and that didn't completely come to fruition, but he wrestled against Baba, he wrestled against Stan Hansen, Jumbo Tsuruta, you know, Misawa, Vader, all of the names of the 90s and the late 80s and the 2000s, Akiyama's been there. And it's Marufuji and Akiyama versus two of the younger guys, Yoshiki Inamura and Kaito Kiyomiya. And then you've got the GHC National Championship is Masakatsu Funaki, who is a former King of Pancrase, like Minoru Suzuki, versus their current champion, Kenno, who he screams a lot. He's angry. He likes to kick people. Chris, I think you'd like him. But either way, like it's just a lot of generational matches aside from the main event. So I love the concept that Noah is bringing to this, where it's the old guard meets the new guard, and this is the new Noah. So if they can sell well, if it gets good reviews, the new Noah can kind of come to fruition and start doing shows at Budokan like Noah used to do for a straight decade, you know, when Misawa started the company and right after his death. And then it's been a little over a decade since they last did it, because they've been in a weird spot financially, let's call it that. So where does that concept, you know, kind of land with you? Because I know you may not be familiar with everybody, but you understand the old school versus the new school and what it could mean for the big picture.
You know, Balls, I'm not going to lie. With all due respect to everybody you just named, it kind of strikes me as an indie over here on this side of the pond where, okay, we got Gangrel, we got Tony Atlas, we got Jake the Snake, we got Honky Tonk Man, and we're going to put them up against, you know, the guys that are here in this particular indie promotion. Or even if we're trying to do a pay-per-view, we're just going to get a bunch of names from the past that may be a little past their prime or a lot past their prime. We're going to put them up against some young people, and hopefully we can make some money off of doing that. That's kind of how it strikes me. And no disrespect to Noah, because at this point in time, what else are they going to do? Because New Japan's been carrying the banner for the last, decade now, and they're struggling right now because, you know, struggling in terms of trying to keep relevance because of the COVID. So you got to do what you got to do. I am interested in seeing Muto wrestle, though. I might go out of my way and use my nefarious means to watch this because of how high of a regard that I hold Muto in.
I'll just say this to people surrounding Gangrel. If he's trying to teach you something, the last thing you want to tell him is, "I know." Just a little suggestion to those around Gangrel. I just a little insider info.
I see. So, is that he's gonna get mad, or he's just gonna lay it in heavier? Like what does the "I know" exactly get you?
You know what?
The answer is yes.
You know what? Just say that. Just say that to him and find out what happens.
Well, what or did you not. Do know? What if he asks you what your number is, and then you know.
How do I know? How do I know?
What is my number, Mr. Grail?
I just know.
Exactly.
I just know.
What if he spits like the acidic blood on your balls like he did to Carl Anderson?
I'm just passing along.
Chubbamania 2.
He just goes, "Hey, Grail." I'm just passing along some sinful advice.
Very nice. I like the way you worded that. Yeah, good job.
That was well played.
That was pretty damn good. Yeah. Dust your shoulders off. That was good. So, aside from the Muda thing, does the generational thing interest you at all with the Noah aspect, or does it really just come off like super indie to you?
Yes. The answer is yes.
No, that's fair. I mean, that's fine. I know that, you know, I'm definitely the bigger Japanese wrestling fan here, but at least you're slightly interested in something, so I'll take that as a marginal win.
Yeah, like I said, I might go out of my way this weekend to watch that Muto match, man, through nefarious means, obviously, but yeah. And who knows, maybe I'll check out more of the card, which isn't that the point. Regardless of the guys are past their prime or whatnot, isn't that the point? I'm intrigued. On the poppy side of the
game. Even the older guys aren't completely past their prime right now. So, like, you're going to have some good matches either way.
And I can't tell you the last time I've watched a Noah show, or even I can't tell you the last time I watched a Noah match. It's been damn near a year now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, damn near a year now.
Because it was the Fujita Shiozaki stare down for a half hour.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm back and better than ever.
Once a year, Noah ropes you in. Baby. It's fine. Baby.
Phenomenal World Wrestling Federation card. Slick, come on in. I know about your vast managerial background at Pink Cadillac and those six ladies up in Detroit, but I want to talk right now about Butch Reed, the Natural, going against Pedro Morales at the West Palm Beach Auditorium here on Wednesday night.
Before I say anything about Morales, I'm going to tell you something, Santana. Sooner or later, I'm going to get you. But you know what, Morales, since we can't get you right now, since you best friends with the chump, then you can just step right up and take this whooping that's intended for him. Because nobody puts their hands on the slickster and then walk away and laugh and brag about it. Now then, I'm going to beat you like a wore-out mattress, brother. Myself, after this man set you up for me, that's all I got to say.
All right.
I'm going to hold
him. Butch Reed.
I'm going to hold him. And I'm going to gag him. And I'm gonna let Slick take that stick and just beat all the wet off that boy's back. I'm gonna let Slick take that stick and I'm gonna let him beat some black and blue marks on him. And when he goes visit his mama, she won't even know who he is. Pedro Morales, you just step in line, boy. I know that you and Tito Santana call yourself, hey, y'all Ace Boone Coon, you know. Best friends, but y'all don't know what I'm talking about. So you be prime example, because I'm sure enough going to make a prime example out of you, Mr. X, World Heavyweight Champion.
X.
That's right, boy. Butch Reed is on the move. And all you got to do is just pour a little bit more gasoline on the fire to get me to burning, and I'm going to start smoking me some booty down in West Palm Beach, Florida. Starts with you.
Thank you very much, Pete.
So this past week, we lost, at least in my opinion, a luminary in the wrestling world. Had saw Butch Reed, he transitioned after having suffering, I believe it was two heart attacks within the last few months. So, I mean, he wasn't in the best health, but he got up out of here last week. And I you know, personally, I just wanted to pay him his propers. I know a lot of people, especially our younger viewers, might not be that familiar with him. I think his prime probably came in his runs in Mid-South, ran by Bill Watts. I know he had a legendary feud with Junkyard Dog. He had some legendary matches versus Nature Boy Ric Flair down there. You may remember him in WWE in the mid to late 80s as the Natural. They painted his hair blonde and he came out. And there's always been this rumor that he was scheduled to win the IC title one night, and he no-called, no-showed. And that spot ended up going to the Honky Tonk Man, which led to that year-long run with him. I think, at least, I don't want to speak for Andrew here, but I feel like I can, being as how we were both NWA, WCW marks coming up. The run that most people would remember would be with him and Ron Simmons in WCW / NWA as Doom. Very underrated tag team, I thought. They had Woman with him for a little bit, and then Teddy Hart ended up taking over. I feel like that team was broke up sooner than they needed to be. I think there was still some more tread on the tire or meat on the bone or whatever metaphor you want to use. But I really just wanted to give Hacksaw Butch Reed his props because, you know, PC, Balls, growing up in the 80s and 90s as a child, as a black wrestling fan, there weren't a whole lot of people that looked like me that I saw on a day in and day out basis. So when I saw one and saw one that had some sort of modicum of its success, they stood out in my mind. And for that reason alone, I just wanted to give Hacksaw Butch Reed his propers, man. And RIP, we'll see you on the other side. And my thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to the family and loved ones of Hacksaw Butch Reed.
No, and I agree completely with you that I remember him mostly from Crockett, WCW, you know, with Doom, with Ron Simmons, matches with like the Steiner brothers, and when Woman was with them, and Teddy Long, not Teddy Hart, Teddy Long, just to not misspeak.
Capital Combat 1990, Butch Reed and Ron Simmons defeat the Steiner brothers and become tag team champions.
Yeah.
Excellent match. Like, go back and watch it.
It was a damn good match, and they were ahead of their time in a way. Like, you're right. Like, Ron Simmons was the first black world champion. Like, Butch Reed could have easily been that role. Like, he had a look, he had the physique, he was competent in the ring to pull off whatever he needed to pull off. Like, neither one of them are a slouch, and they were always a joy to watch. And I wish I had a little more of a knowledge of Butch's older stuff and anything he might have done before that, but I don't. And it's like Doom was still fucking huge, though. Like, I agree with you that they're a little underrated because they get lost in that sauce, because they're not the Steiners, they're not the Road Warriors, they're kind of, it's, oh yeah, that's right, Doom was a thing. That's kind of where people go with when they remember Doom, with the, oh right, that they were the insert tag team here. They weren't the Midnight Express, they weren't the Rock and Roll Express. So they could have been. They only had one run with the WCW belt, if I remember correctly, after that Steiner match. But they were still damn good. Teddy Long would talk his ass off to put them over, and they looked like a million fucking bucks. So it was good time.
I echo every sentiment you guys said. You know, Butch Reed is a phenomenal talent and just a guy you should go back and watch some of the things he did. I want to put over Capital Combat for 1 second and talk about this card real quick that he was involved in. It's ridiculous.
Listen to
the people that were on this card, though. I want you to listen to who was all on this card. No, this is good.
This isn't the RoboCop card?
It is, but you had the Road Warriors. You had Bam Bam Bigelow, Cactus Jack, and Kevin Sullivan. You had The Undertaker versus Johnny Ace, Mean Mark, if you will. Mike Rotunda and Tommy Rich, Fatu. You have a hair versus hair match with Teddy Long and Paul Ellering. You have the Midnight
Express. One of them had hair.
Midnight Express versus...
No, at the time they did. Pretty Paul had hair.
He had the mullet, and Teddy Long always wore the do-rag. He had the side shit popping off, though. I feel you.
Midnight Express versus Flying Brian and the Z-Man. You got Rock and Roll Express against the Fabulous Freebirds. You obviously have the tag match we just talked about, and to finish off, Lex Luger and Ric Flair with Woman, BTW. And not only that, but
Sting got hurt, right?
A much younger Dave Ungar is also in the crowd at said match.
Now, do you see him?
I did not, but when I told him I was watching it, after I heard of the news, I went back and watched this tag team match. He said, look for me in the crowd.
Interesting.
So where was RoboCop? Because I'm pretty sure that he was on this card.
I don't know. I just kind of read through it for you. I really only watched the tag.
That was a War Games card, wasn't it? Where RoboCop came out to help Sting out of the cage?
This might have been where RoboCop set up that angle and just came out and whatever, and then they did that down the road.
I think this was the one where Sting got hurt because Flair was supposed to put him over, but Sting got hurt and Luger was the fill-in, so Flair had to beat Luger because he already made the promise to Sting. And this was the slow burn until Sting got healthy, and that's why the RoboCop thing happened, because Sting was still technically banged up. Right?
Yeah, this is the return of RoboCop. Yes, return of RoboCop.
Which, it kind of killed Luger at that particular point in time, because, you know, Luger, who in the history of anything has made more money solely off potential than Lex Luger? God bless him for that.
Luger having the personality of a fucking flagpole kills Lex Luger.
I don't know. Okay, hot take. Who made more money off of potential, Luger or Buff Bagwell? Go.
Luger.
I was just throwing it out there because Buff has made a decent amount of money off of it, and he's still on that Cowboys for Angels kind of like little fucking stripper site or whatever the hell, gigolo site. So you never know, he might be making still a decent bit of cash off of that, sounding like fucking Bobby Hill.
I'm sure he is, but I'm sure, you know, when
R.I.P. Marcus
Alexander Bagwell set out to make his name in the world, it wasn't going to be with his face plowed into the faces or to the vaginas of rich, ugly bitches. I'm pretty sure that wasn't his life's ambition.
Hey, however you got to make your money.
Marcus Alexander Bagwell was a tool, bitch. Scotty Riggs was the truth. That's where it was at with the American males. I was always bummed that he lost it, that their kayfabe lost the eye and had to join Raven's flock because he had like the whole depth perception issue.
I think the Kraken's got a hold of your
Riggs
brain. The Kraken. Somebody get the Kraken out of his brain.
Yes, the Kraken is in your brain. At least Buff had charisma. You can't say that about Scotty Riggs, man.
Buff had one line. One line, and he didn't even say it charismatically. I'm buff, I'm tough, I'm the stuff, and if you don't agree with me, I guess you're just not enough. That's all he had.
Yeah, that's all you need. He had a look, and he had charisma.
A lot of
people have made money off of that. Not just in wrestling, either. Look at Cher, and I love Cher. She got an Oscar and a Grammy, and she can neither sing nor act.
I think I prefer my hole over Buff and Tough and the stuff. You know what I can? And that's all I can say right there.
All right. That being said, we brought it full circle here. Shout out to Nia Jax and her hole. Shout out to Buff Bagwell with his face and some ugly women's, but wealthy women's vaginas right now. Get your money. Shout out to Hacksaw Butch Reed, RIP.
Like Kingpin.
Shout out to all his family. Shout out to NXT TakeOver. Shout out to whatever Impact got going on. Shout out to Pro Wrestling Nova and New Japan, who all have big shows this weekend. Mr. Blast, why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you, sir?
You can find me on the Twitter at IWC War Chief. You know, I don't think I'll be canceled, but maybe I will. That'll be fun. I've kind of always wanted to be part of like one of those cancel culture like waves, just see how much the mentions blow up, because... You know, I don't say the most politically correct shit, so I'm surprised nobody's tried to get salty. Maybe we're not big enough. Maybe we need to get bigger. See, there we go. If you want to cancel me, make us popular first, and then cancel me, and I'll totally be okay with that. IWC Warchief, Twitter.com. Make it happen.
I'm still tripping out on his toupee-looking hair. Like, it looks like if he's going to sneeze, he's got to put his head on top of it so that it doesn't start to... go either way or just pop up off, but that's what it looks like.
It's a flat hair day, man. Motherfucker, I don't dog on you for a bad lineup, motherfucker.
Well, you could if you knew what a bad lineup on a brother looked like, but you don't, so I'm cool. Mr. Tunney, where can they find you, sir? Speaking of bad lineups.
I like how you still managed to bury him at the very last line. That's amazing.
I love you, Tutty, but blame Balls. He set me up for it.
Well,
you know I love you.
It's my fault. That one's
Tutty,
on me.
Tutty, you want some cookie cake?
You can find me in St. Louis, rolling on dubs, smoking on dubs, mean mugs and shoulder shrugs, and it's all because Chris Platt, you know, he just kind of aggravated. No, seriously, you can find me at PC Tunney. Love this show. Love everything that's going on, Chairshot Radio Network. Make sure you check it out. TheChairShot.com, sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. We're trying to do it for you. So we appreciate everybody that's listening. We really, really do.
Couldn't have said it better myself. You can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlat, but seriously, check us out. We've got something every day. We've got the Daily Chair Shot Radio. Of course, Pod is War. Check out Three Man Weave, The Miranda Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, Bandwagon Nerds, The Winner Is You. Of course, I'm not going to say the flagship, but I'm going to say the OG, DWI Podcast. It's the OG of the site. Y'all know that. Outsider's Edge. Mags, he got some shit going on, and many, many other cool ass podcasts. We've got great articles going up day in and day out. And if you want to make sure you keep if you want to make sure we keep providing this fire ass content that we do on a day in and day out basis, I cannot stress this enough, folks. We depend on listeners like you and readers like you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official chair shot t-shirt. You're going to find something you like, I guarantee it. All you got to do is go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and you will find something that not only would you like, that you will buy and you will wear, aka rock. Either way, hey, RIP Hacksaw Butch Reed, RIP Nia Jax's whole, RIP Marty Schottenheimer, and anything else we lost this week. RIP Pedro Gomez as well, OG from ESPN and covering baseball. He was a legend in this game. So we all grew up watching him, so RIP to him as well. If you lost somebody or you know somebody that lost somebody, RIP to them as well. It's hard times right now, y'all. We're just trying to batten down the hatches and hold it together. I promise we'll come out on the other side of this swinging and stronger than ever. We just got to remember, we got to stick together because we all we got. For the Commissioner PC Tunney, for Andrew Snowflake Blast, I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes Christopher Platt. Thank you all for tuning in to the latest edition of Pod is War. We'll see you right back here next week. Same Platt time, same Platt channel. Until then, shalom. Hit it, Carly.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.